The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. Welcome to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel, the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now, here's the host of Magna Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And good morning, everybody. Good morning and welcome back to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And we have kind of a special treat at the half hour coming up. We're going to have a sports agent to some of the greatest sports stars in the country come on and discuss the business of being the best, about negotiating, about actually no deposit, no return. A really great message from Molly Fletcher. We'll have her on at the half hour. In the beginning of the show, though, there's so much going on right now in the financial markets. I wanted to spend a little extra time with you and kind of help, if I can at all, drive home the message that I've tried so hard for the, I believe now, 7 years we've been running our radio show on Voice America about the importance of being disciplined, of the importance of being able to take your emotion and put it in the back seat and just try and ask the question, not what you want to be, not what you think will be, but really what is. Get in the moment and ask the question, what is? And so the question I have really tried to do myself, understanding that I believe in wealth creation through ownership, and that means ownership of anything. That means ownership of commodities, of real estate, of companies. I don't believe in lending because simply you lose to inflation. You always, always lose to inflation over time if you are in the lending business. But if you're in the ownership business, the question is what to own. And I have actually spent a lifetime, half of my lifetime, 25 years studying the greatest investors, reading everything I could, meeting every newsletter writer, and in fact, we've had them all on the show. Basically, everybody I've wanted on the show, we have had on. It's all archived from Jimmy Rogers to Michael Steinhardt, all about the people who actually do a certain style of investing, and not the style, by the way, that's in the front page today again of one of the heroes of Wall Street, paying another $11 million fine for insider trading. Folks, I think that maybe anyone could make money illegally in this country. This show is about how to actually use available information, actually trailing information, not even anticipating anything. That's what Magnet is all about, and I've encouraged everybody who listens to the show, if you're a value investor, if you're a day trader, you have to find the people who are best at it and see what you could learn from them. What I profess, what I believe in more than anything else is that if I could do a checkup on an individual every single day, every single month, I could actually determine sometimes that a 70-year-old is healthier than a 20-year-old. I have the ability to go in and do that diagnostic. In public companies, if you could just take your emotion and put it away, not figure out who's going to win the election, is the yen going to go up versus the dollar. So let's go back now to what I'm really most proud of. What I'm most proud of is from my very first book, Magnet Investing, and from 1998, the folks at AAII.com, the American Association of Individual Investors, now show that screen that's been available all this time as, I think, 27% average annual return since 1998. And by the way, the S&P has done a little bit more than 1%. Okay, 27% puts in a category way beyond, by the way, what Warren Buffett has achieved over at Berkshire Hathaway. So the way we did this is not by guessing the future or understanding future trends. We simply asked the questions that a business owner would ask. Is there accelerating cash flow? Are my profit margins increasing? Those are probably the most important questions. To make those things happen, a lot of things have to be going on behind the scenes. But I had no idea that, for example, there would be online DVDs to watch movies. I had no idea there'd be a yoga craze where a retailer would shoot the moon. I had no idea that there'd be an international global build-out. None of these things. Now, the other side of it, by the way, if you had perfect information ahead of time and you knew that natural gas would increase in usage around the country, you'd probably make a big bet on natural gas. But somehow, interestingly, natural gas prices are at a multi-year low, and most of the companies in that business have been absolutely god-awful to invest in. How is that possible? Well, the whole idea is the market could be very counterintuitive. Things that you most expect to happen work out in a different way. But what I tried to talk about is very simply there needs to be an on-off switch with the market itself. And what I mean by that is that if you happen to be the best golfer in the world, and it is thundering and lightning all over the golf course, you actually belong in the clubhouse, in a sauna. You belong anywhere but on the golf course. Now, when it is sunny or there's no lightning, just say there's no lightning around, well, you go out on the course and you do your thing and you show what you have in your bag. That's what the market is about. If the market is healthy, you want to have your top magnet stocks in your portfolio. If there's thunder and lightning out, you probably want to have more of your money in a money market account and go see a movie. Forget about the market. I don't believe that you need to hold all stocks through major corrections. And by the way, Investors Business Daily and William O'Neill, who's been on the show three times, has a fantastic study on what he calls former market leaders. And those are the companies, absolutely the darlings of the market, that have led the market, that are in the media all over the place. And he points at the average decline in those stocks from their peak is over 60%. 60%, it's kind of hard to believe. So you want to sit through corrections of 60%? Well, probably most people don't. The way we go around this and the way we talk about it, I've had my newsletter through Forbes where we just simply looked at things like the advanced decline line, meaning how many stocks are going up, how many stocks are going down. We look at the new high, new low ratio. Is there more new lows? Are they contracting or are they expanding? Are there less than 40 new lows? When that happens, that's like a sunny sky out. That's when you put your offense on the field. And what we have right now is we have an advanced decline line that's hitting a 52-week high. We have new highs expanding. We have new lows contracting. We have all of this happening while new home sales come out today as the all-time worst number. And I mean all-time, that's what they're saying. The point is people are sitting back saying, well, the market can't do anything until the housing market improves. Well, that's nonsense because the market has virtually doubled since the 09 bottom. And if you go to AAII, com, and you take a subscription, you'll see that the Simple Magnet strategy is ranked number one since that period, but by a very, very long shot. Oh, by the way, I want to make sure, disclaimer here, just because the Magnet process has one of the highest returns in the country since 98 does not mean all my investors have earned those returns. Remember, there's a thing called playing goalie where you say to your advisor, well, we shouldn't do this now, and maybe we should do this now, and oh, no, Greenspan's going to do something, or Bernanke's going to say something. So the point is, as I've said again and again, people lost money in the flagship Fidelity Magellan. More people lost money than made money while Peter Lynch was having the run of all runs as a portfolio manager. But Fidelity put out a study and said people would tend to buy right after a major run up, and then as soon as it started to correct and go down somewhere along that trip during a normal correction, they would sell the fund and then buy it back after a big run, and they continue to chase their tail. What I am trying to talk about is using longer-term criteria to determine the health of the market and then run with the Magnet stock. So I have a couple kids. I remember, you know, when you're a little kid, in the middle of the night, it could be scary, there's goblins under the bed, whatever it is, and you just want that sun to come up. And the fact of the matter is there's a sequence with a tide, there's a sequence with the sunrise and sunset, and here we are, by the way, with a fantastic opening January for the market. People want to buy now. They didn't want to buy in the depth of the correction when the idiots in Washington were talking about a debt ceiling, and you actually came out with a historic number of downside volume and energy. So the whole point here, what I'm bringing up is this: one of my favorite newsletters, Investec, wrote this newsletter that this is hard to believe. All you guys should know roughly where the Dow Jones is, you know, 12,500 area. Well, folks, last year, the Dow Jones traversed up and down 28,000 points and then closed virtually unchanged. I think a lot of people got hurt in last year's market because they used their emotion to make their decision. Folks, you don't want to use your emotion while driving a car. You don't want to use your emotions in most things in life, frankly. What you want to do is find a way to breathe deeply, to act calmly, to use crises to your advantage, but never, ever to let emotions actually run your long-term business plan and investment plan. That's what both of my books are about. By the way, the second book to come out, Magnet Method, came out in 2009, right near the bottom. A lot of people have complained deeply about this new market, that it's not fundamentals, it's not based on fundamentals, it's based on all kinds of wacky stuff. Well, the portfolio that was selected in the book, there were 40 stocks listed. They have continued to outperform the market, as virtually every list I put out has done. The top 10 of them has done dramatically well. If you haven't read Magnet Investing and you haven't read the Magnet Method of Investing and you don't buy it this week, I got an idea. Don't come back to the show next week. You got to do your reading. You have to do your homework. You cannot let people do things for you and follow people blindly. In my books, in fact, I list 50 or 60 other books I recommend you to read. Even recently, we've had on John Boyd. Next week, we're having on Michael Covell from The Traders, The Turtle Traders. We continue to highlight the best minds, trying to help you find your own plan. Once you have a plan, stick with it, folks. What we need to do is go over what I'm seeing right now in the market, why you have to get yourself a plan, and the plan shouldn't be, by the way, a sub 1% money market. We have a little more to cover before we bring on Molly Fletcher at the bottom of the hour. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more Magnet Investing. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety. Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magnet Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back to Magnet Investing. And I want to bring up a couple of really important points. No, not the stock of the day, not the hot sector of the day. I'll be on CNBC later on in the month where I'm sure they're going to ask for the shortest term advice they could possibly get. What I want to talk about right now instead is this thing called the trend is your friend, and I want to talk about accountability. Those two critical things. So what do I mean by the trend is your friend? And so there's this really big debate in the market about whether to be a trend follower. And again, we'll have Michael Covell on next week, who's one of the great authors of trend following. And then the opposite of that might be being a contrarian. And what that would mean would be anything that sounds good to the crowd doesn't sound good to me. I want to be against the crowd. I think, you know, people who are contrarian think the crowd is dumb, the crowd always makes mistakes, etc. Well, that's not what crowdsourcing is. You know that new word crowdsourcing that came up 10 years ago where they would get crowds together, get a kind of an average opinion? Well, here's the beautiful thing. Once a market goes in motion, whether it's gold 11 years ago, whether it's oil several years ago, what happens is the initial reaction, initial gut feeling by people is, oh, this has to end quickly. You know, I'm going to bet against it. Well, once a trend goes in motion, trends often actually overshoot. Remember the internet technology craze? Well, it overshot. People who were able to read the emotions of the market were actually able to profit immensely. They jumped on the trend. And when does the trend end? The trend ends when there's a absolute universal conviction that the trend has to continue and there's nobody left to buy. It's almost like musical chairs where there's all of a sudden there's no seat to take when the music stops. So the thing I try to get at is to share with you that maybe you shouldn't be emotional, but you need to know the emotions of the market itself. And so what happens is, I believe that the my favorite aspect, frankly, of Voice America Radio, in addition to be able to complete your thought and have guests come on and complete their thought and not have these 2-3 minute hits on Fox and CNBC, but that everything is archived in history. So you go back to the first week, go back to the archive and click on March, the first, and you know, the first week in March of 09, right at the bottom, and listen to what I was saying at the time. Go back 7 years in time and look at every turn in the market. By the way, that doesn't mean at every turn I was right. It just simply means that I am not a two-handed economist, meaning on one hand this and on the other hand that. I think you have to have a certain conviction in this market, and then you say to yourself, without any ego involved, I'm actually willing to change direction if the facts change, if evidence appears that tells me, hey, it is not the butler, it was actually the milkman. So you understand the point there. You want to have conviction, but you want to always be looking for clues. Now, what I have right now is we have relit up magnetinvesting.com, and on there's maybe 40 major articles from the Equities Magazine or Dick Davis Digest, the biggest financial magazines of our time. I've written about 40 articles in there. Most of them are on that website, as are maybe a couple hundred shows from CNBC. There was a beautiful link that we had before where AOL created a link of maybe 400 shows that I was on from Fox and CNBC and ABC. I don't know where that link went, but again, who wants to watch Jordan 400 times? I guess that's why they took the link down. The key is what I'm talking about this show, is about being able to share unbiased information, go on the hook every week, tell people what I see, what I think, and have it burned in perpetuity in digital form so we could listen to it in the future. Now, one of the other things I want to share while I'm talking about conviction, about the trend, is this concept that Aaron Brown came on, and Aaron's been one of my favorite guests, frankly, on the show, the author of Poker Face of Wall Street and now recently Red-Blooded Risk. By the way, he is the senior risk manager at a $60 billion hedge fund. He was the senior risk manager at Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Citigroup. Had he stayed with them, I don't think those groups would have gotten in the trouble they did. But the point he brings out is that right at the end of a trend, people, and this is the upside and downside, by the way, too, people will either get disgusted at gold with 200, oil at $12, and people say, why the heck should I drill for oil or mine for gold at these low prices? I'm actually getting out of the business. Well, that's what happens at the bottom of a market. At the top of the market, universally, everyone wants to buy. I want to point something out. My unemotional, unthinking, if you will, purely mathematical model has now found a really interesting natural gas company where the margins are expanding, the revenue's expanding, the cash flow is expanding. This is happening while, by the way, natural gas is virtually hitting a multi-year low. I've gone in to buy that stock. I'm not going to share the stock right now. That's not what the show is about. But what an unemotional process can do for you is actually steer you clear of the noise of the market. And let me share, after now 600 times on CNBC and ABC and Fox, I understand completely it's entertainment. It's really not financial information. These guys will scream at you to wait by the commercial. The next number's coming out in 2 minutes. It's housing, it's GPI, it's CPI, it's whatever the heck the number is. And the second the number flashes, within 30 seconds, they're talking about stay tuned for the next number. It might be next day, it might be next week, but now the next number is the key. Stand by, watch some commercials, and watch these guys. Oh, by the way, one of the things I put together in this new platform is there was an old thing called Top Tipper. So Top Tipper ranked all the guys on TV, what their stock picks actually did. And people say, you know, you're not accountable. Well, I have the old thing from Top Tipper. It was kind of fun. I came across it. Someone shared it with me. Jordan Kimmel, yours truly, was ranked number one while that service was on board. It was kind of fun at the time. I did take a lot of effort, a lot of thought went into every stock I ever recommended on television. And by the way, not because I thought those stocks would go up. It was because the model picked those stocks. And I actually have learned, like a pilot does, reminds me we need to bring on our friend, our pilot from Valium Wisdom. The point is, once you begin to learn to trust your instruments, there's no longer any panic flying a plane. You are instrument trained, and I am trained in the Magnet instruments. I know how it works. I could tell you right now that it is picking some stocks most of people have never heard of. That's always been the knock on Magnet. How can it pick these? Why isn't it picking GE? Why isn't it picking Johnson & Johnson? Where are you coming up with these names, Jordan, is what I heard now for 25 years. Well, the proof is in the pudding. If you haven't become a member of AAII yet, you should. It's the American Association of Individual Investors. They not only follow the Magnet screen, they're following 75 prominent screens right now. Almost everybody there, by the way, has billions under management. I have taken an approach of sub-advising to several places. My new funds will start soon. It will allow you to sit back and ride the energy of Magnet. It doesn't mean, by the way, we'll be successful either. But what we will do is we will follow the tried and true model that has shown by AAII to be a 27% return per year. And again, that's not every year. Sometimes it's lost a fair amount of money, and sometimes it's done way better than that. But that's the average annual return. It puts Magnet in a class literally by itself. It's something I'm very proud of. The latest book, the numbers back it up the exact same way. Again, the main thing to talk about here, it's no ego here. I'm not the one who created this by myself. I worked with probably 70 different interns from some of the best institutions in America. We've actually had collaborations from a half a dozen PhDs. What's great for me is I don't have to take the credit. By the way, remember, I did not name my stock selection process Jordan, right? I named it Magnet because it attracts the other money in the market, the institutional money. I love it. It's a lot of fun with what I'm doing. Enough with me, enough with Magnet for now. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to turn the stage. We're going to talk about the business of being the best. We're going to talk to one of the top sports agents in America, Molly Fletcher, a woman in a man's world who's shown him how to beat him, how to win, and how to do it long term. We're going to take a quick break. We'll bring Molly Fletcher on right after this quick note. Should be a lot of fun. We'll be right back after a quick break.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety. These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everyone, to Magna Investing. And all our listeners know for the last several years we've been on the leading thought leaders, mostly straight investors, but when people get the message right or the any walk of life, we'd like to welcome them. At this time, I'm thrilled to bring on Molly Fletcher right now. Her new book just came out, The Business of Being the Best. And for all you folks who are not professional athletes and are not working with Molly, she's represented some of the greatest sports figures of our era, a very successful female sports agent in basically a man's world, but she's on to share with us the secret of being the best, the title of her new book. And Molly, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jordan. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll have some fun here right now with you. I think that I shared with you before we went on air, every guy growing up wants to be in your business. There's some secrets to long-term success, though, which is what I think your book is all about. Before we get right into the full meat of your book, though, Molly, share with everybody some of the names, some of the fun, some of the big things you've done to put you onto this platform, and then we'll get into the meat of the new book, The Business of Being Best.
Well, you know, I mean, I was a student athlete at Michigan State. I played tennis in college, and I wanted to be in the sports business, but I didn't really know, you know, kind of what that looked like or what that meant. But as it evolved, you know, I love managing relationships. I love building relationships and was able to have some success doing that. So I started with, you know, a handful of guys and grew it to about 250 athletes and coaches and broadcasters, guys like Doc Rivers and Paul Silas and Tom Izzo and Billy Donovan and John Smoltz and Ernie Johnson Jr. And so from, you know, Matt Kuchar, a lot of golfers, broadcasters, baseball players. And you know, what the reason I wrote the book is because I really got to a point where I felt like the things that these guys do really well are transferable to the business world and that they're the kinds of things that I wanted business people to understand because I really felt like it applied to them and I felt like they could utilize it, you know, to execute or to lead better. And so much of what, you know, a Smoltz thinks about in the bottom of the ninth inning on the mound, you know, when he was pitching and closing are the kinds of things that I think business people can think about when they're getting ready to walk into a big meeting or make a call or, you know, share stock prices with their, you know, I mean, whatever the situation might be, business people are, you know, encounter sort of those same kind of feelings, those moments like a Smoltz has on the mound in the ninth or as a leader when you're, you know, when you've got to, you know, make a call, it's no different than the kind of call Izzo has to make, you know, with 2 seconds on the clock, you know, against Michigan or something. So, to me, it's the same thing, and it's transferable, and I just, you know, at the end of the day, right, I've really always wanted to be in the business of maximizing human capital, and whether it's maximizing athletes or coaches or broadcasters or maximizing business people, that's really what I've been passionate about, and it's in many ways why I wrote this book.
Well, it shows, frankly, Molly, by your success, and I think that part of the message, what I'd love to talk about with you today is what you bring out in your book. We're not talking about you being the number one or your athletes being the number one. We're talking more about the way things are done, about building a personal brand, about the titles in your chapter, in your book, Leading Like the Best, and really having a reputation that goes beyond your last inning pitched or your last foul shot made or not made, about how you do things. And I think that's the only way, frankly, Molly, that anybody can be long-term successful. And I'd love you to talk about that.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked about it earlier, right? I mean, it's sort of in life, right? There, if there's no deposit, there's no return. One of the things I say when I speak is, you know, go look at a Coke can, right? What does it say? It says, you know, no deposit, no return. And I think in life, it's the same thing. It's about hard work. It's about recovering from adversity more quickly than everybody else. You know, you look at the best golfers in the world, you look at their scorecards, and, you know, they're not going to go bogey, double, double. You know, they're going to go, maybe they're going to go bogey, but then they're going to go birdie, par, par. They're going to recover quickly. But you look at the best pitchers in the world, right? And they're going to go, they might walk a guy, but they're not going to walk four in a row, or they wouldn't be one of the best. The other thing is, you know, that I think is important, that Izzo and I talk a lot about, but is consistency, right? I mean, there's a lot of great athletes that have made it to the top for a cup of coffee or for a month or two, but they can't stay there. And, you know, the best, no matter how good you were when you were there, if you're only there for a week or a month or whatever, that's not being the best. Being the best is part of being is being consistently, you know, at the top. And, I mean, what do these guys do so well that I think business people and others can capture is that they execute. You know, they don't confuse activity with accomplishment. They don't get caught up in the moment. They're always looking ahead at the next opportunity. I mean, they're creative as can be. And, you know, Bobby Cox, I mean, one of my favorite stories about Bobby Cox is, you know, Bobby's a guy who's going to be in the Hall of Fame as a manager, certainly, right?
And no question.
Manager of the Braves. I mean, terrific, terrific human being. And, you know, kind of this big teddy bear, right? I mean, he's just a great guy. He's the kind of guy that guys always wanted to play for, and really humble. But, you know, simultaneously, here's a guy who's been ejected from more Major League Baseball games than anybody, you know, out there, right? I mean, like 268 times, I believe, you know, sort of in his career. And, you know, you go, so one day I sort of said to him, I said, man, you gotta help me with this, right? I mean, like, you're a good dude. I mean, what is going on out there? Why you just go nuts on these umps? And what he shared is that he goes, Ma, look, you know, I get out there and maybe it's the bottom of the eighth or the ninth or whatever. And I got, you know, my number three or four guy coming up, you know, next round and in the next inning. He goes, I got to make sure he's in. And if he's getting out there, he slides into second, let's say, and they go nuts and, you know, they call him out and he thinks he's safe. And, you know, what Bobby quickly always realized is, look, he doesn't win games. The guys win the games. The guys need to be in the game to hit and field and do what they do. And so Bobby would run out there, sort of wobble out there, right, with his bow-legged legs, and he'd get out there and he'd get himself, you know, between the ump and the player. And he'd take the ejection.
Right.
And so it was, you know, it's the best to understand that it isn't really about them. It's about everybody else. And that's what makes them great leaders. And, you know, I have this philosophy about how they execute. And, you know, that's all kind of in the book as well. But they're all fearless as can be. And I think that all applies to business people. And so it was fun to write. And, you know, most importantly, I hope it makes people's lives better and happier and more complete.
Well, there's no question the message on this show, by the way, Molly, is really bringing on some of the leaders, and watching and learning from them. And that's really one of the best things you could do, is find the most successful people, and learn from them. And one of the things I want to talk about that I know you stress in the book, there's a whole chapter on that everything is negotiable and negotiate everything. But what I want to kind of set up there is, I think in order to be really successful, I don't think you can win the negotiation. I think people have to, everyone walks away feeling like everyone's happy to sign the contract and everyone's happy to do business with you again.
Right.
And tell me if I get that right or not.
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're going to just do one deal with one team, then that's fine. You can get sideways with the GM. But the truth is, most people and most businesses, you've got to go back there, right? And you've got to negotiate with that team or that club again or that network or that school. So my philosophy always is sort of in those moments when, you know, it gets tense or whatever the situation might be, you know, turn that defensive feeling that you have into curiosity, right? Try to really understand why the organization or the team or the network or whatever feels the way that they feel. Why do they value, you know, slugging percentage over RBI, right? Or why, you know, do they value home wins over, I mean, whatever the situation might be, try to understand their perspective, because if you can do that, you can potentially try to combat it better. So, and I think that applies in business, right? How do you turn defensiveness into curiosity? And, you know, I think that if people like you, they want to work with you. And you know, some of this stuff is almost reminders to people to some extent, because obviously building relationships isn't that complicated, but it can be if you don't do it right, and it can hinder you if you don't do it right. And, you know, to me, negotiation is about connecting with somebody, not just sort of communicating with them. I mean, you've got to sit on the same side of the table, and there's tactics and techniques that I teach. I mean, you know, I think you've got to be comfortable with silence, right? You've got to be comfortable with a pause. I mean, I've sat on the phone with GMs, you know, with nobody talking for 2 minutes because nobody really wants to share a position.
And then the first one to talk loses, huh?
Well, I think that, you know, you've got to let people know that you can walk away. I mean, obviously, the best kind of negotiation to be in is when you really don't really need the deal. I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? So the more you talk, the more information you provide. So you've got to walk that line really carefully, right? I mean, you've got to be able to connect, and you've got to communicate enough that they know that you're sort of working toward a solution. But simultaneously, you know, there's points when you need to just say what you need to say and you need to stop talking. It's almost like a medicine ball, you know, sort of throw that ball over to somebody and just stop talking and let them answer it and get a raw reaction. You know, nowadays kids, you know, do so much through texting and emailing, and there's such a value in getting on the phone with somebody and communicating so that you can really hear their tone and the timing and the pauses and the inflections, and all those things mean stuff. And that's what that chapter talks about, is how do we teach that so that you can learn to be aware and use all that data to position, whether it's you're negotiating for yourself or for a client or whatever it might be. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I've never been a fan of getting sideways and having, you know, I don't negotiate in the media. I don't do things like that because, you know, at the end of the day, the guy, the player, has to go play in that city.
Right.
You know, they've got
to
go
be liked and doesn't want to squeeze people.
Right.
So let me ask you one thing real quick, because I'm looking at the time. We have a little extra time in the next segment if you want to stick with us. If you're pressed for time, Molly, I want you to at least get out the contact information for yourself and the book. Tell us if you have a few more minutes.
Yeah, I do. Sure. I can
wait
a second.
So let's do that. We're going to have to pause here. Before we even go to the break, Molly, so maybe people can see more about you when they're listening. You have your own website, I'm sure. Maybe there's a website for the book.
Yep. If you go to mollyfletcher.com, everything's there. And then we also have the Betterment Institute. It's called BettermentInstitute.com, which is a lot of this kind of content, which is on the Betterment Institute as well. So, and I'm saying Betterment. Sometimes I say that too quickly, but... But both of those sites are live and well, and you can connect with me also directly through that. And I'm on Twitter at MollyFletcher.com.
Perfect. Molly, let's do this. Let the sponsor come in for a minute. We'll come right back with Molly Fletcher, her new book, The Business of Being the Best. And it's got a nice, strong endorsement right on the front with Roger Staubach. And you certainly are hanging out with a lot of people I'd love to meet over time. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Molly Fletcher after the quick break.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everyone, to Magna Investing. We're talking right now with Molly Fletcher. She's the author of a new book, The Business of Being the Best. It's all about being the successful sports agent that she's been for a number of years, representing who's who in the field, but doing it in a certain way. And you touched on it really quick, Molly. I'd love you to just, you know, that no deposit, no return in the book is really a great message. And I kind of want you to share maybe some of the great players you represented and how they gave back to their community, and how by doing the right thing, it probably even enhanced their future earnings.
Yeah, no question. Well, you know, Smoltz is a guy that obviously pitched for the Braves and popped around there toward the end of his career. But, you know, John was a guy who I feel like the organization had a hard time letting go, the Atlanta Braves did, because of the level of involvement he had in Atlanta. You know, he started a school in Atlanta, a Christian school that has and continues to have great success. You know, he's always involved with, you know, the food drives and various things, the children's hospitals. And I think because of that, sometimes it makes it hard for an organization to let a guy go. It's easier to trade the guys that maybe aren't as immersed or aren't as fan friendly as a guy like John. But, you know, and Tom Izzo, I mean, a guy who, you know, has had great success at Michigan State. And when he was looking at that Cavs job, you know, people were putting signs in the yards talking about, you know, you can't let him go, you guys got to keep him, and putting pressure on the university to up his deal. And, you know, all those things matter. I mean, you know, the world is so competitive now, and yes, these athletes are really special and the coaches are really special. But you know what? If you're really difficult to deal with and you really don't care about the people that you touch or the people and the platform that you have and how you can use it right, I think organizations and teams and networks, they're going to find somebody else. And everybody will be okay. And so, I, you know, it's important to do things right. And all the athletes that I've worked with, fortunately, are the kind of guys, I mean, I always work with guys that I knew there was going to be great mutual respect for. Both of us sort of appreciated what each other did for the other. And I think that's important in life with clients. And, you know, I've turned down guys, right? I mean, if I don't think it's right, you know, I think you never want to embark on a relationship that you think could end the wrong way. And you know, a lot of that is over communicating and managing expectations really well on the front end.
Right. It's a super point there, Molly. And I think that there's something, I've been reading your book actually and really enjoying it. And I didn't get to finish it yet. The last chapter is called Build a Personal Brand. So that's where I got to. And kind of share what you mean by that, because it's an interesting thought, but I share what you mean by it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that now in our corporate environments, people are, you know, there's no, it's not black and white, right? I mean, most of our worlds, there's gray, and the gray is that we live and work and live, and it's sort of all one thing, I think, more than it ever has been in light of social media. And obviously, as an agent, you know, it's part of my responsibility to really manage these athletes' branding, manage their career off the field, elongate their career as much as we can, capture the eyeballs while they're at the top. So one of the things that I'm, you know, that's a big priority to me that isn't substantial revenue per se, but is a priority because it's important for these guys, is how do we utilize social media effectively, building their websites, controlling their Twitter, you know, having them communicate via Twitter, their Facebook fan pages. How do we integrate all that and create a platform for them to have control over the messaging? You know, and most importantly, have a career plan after they're done. These guys, you know, they never think they're ever going to be done. But when they are, it's important to prepare for that. It's important to capitalize on the relationships that you've built while you've competed and utilize those relationships after you're done in an effective sort of mutual way. Barcoding themselves, you know, is a really big part of being an agent, and it's always been a big priority to me, and we've had great success with it.
Right. Well, you know, it comes back, and I appreciate that, you know, those thoughts. I think what it comes back to my is where you kind of started, that it's all about the relationship. It's all about the long-term relationship. And this is something that we think about in biz. It's not a matter of, say, maximizing this year, maximizing this month, but really what to do, how to do it longer term. And then, like you say, things will change. Athletes can't play forever, making sure they're prepared. And I'm sure it's that kind of relationship and being completely, holistically, if you will, involved, that has really built to your success. So what I need to do here is there's a couple things I need to do to wrap up the show. I really appreciate you staying longer. One more time, you said your website's Molly Fletcher. Let me make sure it's clear for them. Fletcher. It's Molly Fletcher, the business of being the best. And we thank you so much for your time today. It's fantastic.
Well, it's been fun, Jordan. All the best to you and all your listeners as well.
All righty, and we appreciate your time. What I wanted to do just for the last couple minutes, if you will, and Molly, thanks again for joining us. I'm going to be back in touch with you. What I want to just kind of share with our listeners here is the Magnet Investing website, which has been, unfortunately, through regulators, and they're so concerned what you put out and how you put out. Magnetinvesting.com. Is back up. It shares the 40 or so, 50 articles I've written in the major journals, the hundreds of shows on CNBC. But more importantly, I want to bring home this message. We continue to hear about the sky falling. We continue to hear about the economy crumbling, about there's no jobs in America. All that is actually media hype. I believe that actually there's never been more tonnage shipped. There's never been a stronger, bigger global economy. And just because we're sharing the wealth and sharing the power with the rest of the world right now, it happens to be great for business. The key is one day when the sun finally comes out and there'll be nothing more to worry about, the valuations on the market will be sky high. It's never time to invest when everyone wants to invest. The hardest part about this kind of counterintuitive business is the value's always there when people are the most afraid. When the news is bad, the price is right. And so the old expression, you never get a dear price with a rosy scenario. I've been asking you folks for 7 years right now, try to tune out the emotion, try to tune out the fear, and as Molly Fletcher shared with us, you need to be thinking about the longer term. You need to be thinking about how to actually survive for long term and be successful for long term. So most proud, if you go to AAII.com, we are showing, I believe, currently a 27% annual return since 98. It's almost unheard of, but they do it every month. There's about 7 articles on Magnet Investing there. That's not my website. That's theirs. That's why it's so much fun. And what we'll continue to do is bring on the leading guests, the leading thought leaders, and I think this example with Molly just before, she's represented, folks, people very hard to get to. But if you do things in other people's interests, you don't put yourself first, you don't think of yourself first, there's an amazing amount of success and opportunity out there. The media will continue to highlight on the people stealing, cheating, but that's not what the whole world is about. There's always what I call the left side of the bell curve. If you look at my book, the whole theory about Magnet is reaching for that right tip of the bell curve, the best of the best. And if you're only willing to work and deal with the best, in this case, in the market companies, it's amazing what can happen. So I think what I'd love you to do, Voice America, by the way, is launched Voice America TV. They have a red carpet down at the Super Bowl. I plan on being there with them with a lot of NFL alumni. And I think what we want to do is I want everyone to email over to either magnetinvesting.com or voiceamerica.com and find out what we need to do to get Magnet Investing as a ongoing video show, which is what we're talking about. It's an absolute pleasure having all of this burned into digital perpetuity. We can go back. We can listen to this for years. What were we saying at critical market turns? What were we saying about the market, the sector, the economy? And it's just a lot of fun being able to complete thoughts as opposed to, you see me, I think next week I have a CNBC coming up. It will be 2-3 minutes. The stock of the day, the sector of the day, and then they move on. That's really not what life is about. I'm going to encourage everybody, get a game plan. Go read, by the way, read Molly Fletcher's book, but you have to go read Magnet Investing. You have to read the Magnet Method of Investing. You have to create a plan that's comfortable for you. And then once you have that plan, I've walked up and down Wall Street for 25 years, the best of time, the worst of times. I still have not got hit on the head with a piece of falling sky. The sky will not fall in. The country will not slip off into the ocean. It will be here. You have to prepare for it. You have to have a plan. One of my favorite hours of the week is the Magnet Investing Show, folks. I hope it's fun for you. Send the link to your friends. And join us right here next week back on Magnet Investing. Have a wonderful week ahead. See ya. Bye now.
Voice America Business Channel would like to thank you for logging on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time for another exciting hour of Magnet Investing. Right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, the Voice America Business Channel.